Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Yeah, NBA Straya, how are you going? How are you going? I hope you're alright. You should be, because it's Friday, to joy, if am I right? April 26th, I am your host, James Clements. You can see me on the AFL Today Show, the official AFL Supercoach podcast, Fox Sports Lab NBA, all that good stuff here in Lariama Studios. Tell you what, old mate's warmed it up in here. Jeez, had the heater on. Either she was farting up a storm. Either way, this is episode 1084 of NBA Australia. We have three game threes. That's right, the game threes are here. And we've got three of them, free for free. Steph Curry won an award. We'll talk about that. We've got the NBA Australia game wraps. We've got Joel Embiid should be in jail. That's a good segment. I'm just joking. That's not a knife. Oh, mate, no, mate. Spud of the night, better than Lonzo Ball. Dickhead of the week. We've got, yeah, Nazi, unpopular opinion of the day. Now, back takeouts. We were serving up a flame grilled take. There is an Andrew Gaze Grey Mum Reward for outstanding achievement in the field of excellence. And we've also got a huge set of game previews for the weekend, right? So we're going to do Saturday, Sunday, Monday, because we're not going to do a Sunday night show this week, I think. I might be just a little bit too cooked. I'm going to do AFL on Sunday as well. But the point being, we've got some ripper game threes into game fours over the weekend. So that'll be pretty fun. So without further ado, should we get into it? I think we should. Episode 1084, I said, didn't I? Yes. Let's go.
G'day, this is Andrew Gaze, and you're listening and watching NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
You better if you're Kenny. That's right, Shaq beat him to the board. My favorite call about that was like, hey, Kenny, why do they call you the Jet? He's been beaten by Shaq and Chuck this week. Tough gear there for Kenny the Jet Smith. Anyway, let's start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia. I believe it's with some sort of whip around.
Aha, there you go.
Steph Curry won an award. Is it for most annoying bloke who's not in the playoffs? Oh, geez, Jim, that's a bit rough. He's not that annoying. He seems like a very nice guy. He does. He seems lovely. He definitely also seems like the guy who snaps at some point and, like, kills a drifter. You know? Anyway, maybe not. Don't do it, Steph. Don't do it. Seth definitely would. Steph Curry, he won the Clutch Player of the Year award ahead of DeMar DeRozan there and SGA. He finished with the most clutch points scored. So that sort of just makes sense because Golden State played in more clutch games than any other team this year, 48. Because remember, they were shit. That's right. They were 10th. That's not very good. I don't know what to tell you. It's like, oh, why are we in clutch games all of a sudden? Because you keep fucking losing them. He's like, but I scored lots of points. Okay, great. Did you win the games? Oh, no. Okay, good job. He got 45 first place votes. DeMar got 34. SJ got 11. So the total points, 298 to 272 to 160 out of the top three. Pretty cool. Good job. I also love that Dame got one third place vote. Jalen Williams got a one third place vote. Like, what are we doing? That's Luka got a first place vote. It's like, all right, cool. Anyway, good job, everybody. Other little bits of news. Chris Middleton, he's questionable for game three for the Milwaukee Bucks. That's not good news. It's not Algonquin for the good land, I'll tell you that much. He sprained his right ankle. So it kept him from practicing today and keeps his status for game three in Indy tomorrow up in the air. The Bucks obviously don't have Giannis, so this could be a real kick in the dick. Speaking of kicks in the dick, Joel Embiid. That's right, he kicked a bloke in the loaf today. But Embiid has Bell's palsy? What the hell, man? So Woj, after the game today, where Embiid scored 50, also tried to kill Mitch Robinson and kicked him in the dick. He's being treated for a mild case of Bell's palsy for the past week. So it began during the play-in over the game that they won over Miami. He wanted to keep it private to avoid distractions for his team. Too bad now, I guess. Thanks, Woj. Now everyone's going to be like, hey, what's going on with your Bell's palsy, Joel? And he's like, fuck, I shouldn't have told anybody. Anyway, but the Sixers as well. You might remember their boo-hoo were whinging. They did not file an official protest the other day after game two, which is hilarious. They expressed their concerns to the league regarding officiating, but there was no official protest. Amazing. So they had a sook, threatened a sook even more, and then went, oh, well, guess we won't do anything about it. Good job, everybody. There was a great little stat that got thrown at me as well. The Celtics, I think it was Jared Vice, tweeted this one out. This is one of the wildest stats I've seen. Miami now has 4 playoff games in the past 2 seasons with 50% shooting from 3 against Boston. 4. No other team has more than 1 against anyone. That is absolute chaos. I don't know what it is about Miami playing Boston. It just gets them up and about. Right. Should we do some game wraps? Let's do it. Game wraps. That's right. The game wraps. Cleveland. Got absolutely straight killed.
He got straight killed.
By Orlando, 121-83. Bulgies. Orlando smashed him. They're up 32 points in the third quarter. This game was over. The Cavs, they couldn't hit a 3. That was why. The crazy thing is, you might remember, the first 2 games, Orlando could not shoot a lick during those first couple of games. Their guards were all over the shop. Today, Suggs went, all right, fuck that. Literally out of the gate, he was hitting shots. Paolo looked amazing. Paolo Banchero. Suggs was cooking, and Cleveland could not keep up. Darius Rucker, Judy Garland, Donnie Mitchell went absolutely MIA in this game. Like, they were forcing it early, but you sort of, like, look down, you look back up. Orlando up 20 and then just stayed there the entire game. There was, like, almost 0 runs. It's, like, very rare where you have a game like this where it's just an ass-kicking from pillar to post, right? But, like, Orlando got up. It was in the second quarter. They were up, like, I don't know, 13, 14. You turn around, it's like they're up 15, and then by the middle of that quarter, they're up 21, and it did not get any better. Like, it was 92-58 at one point. You're like, yeah, this game, Packer up, boys, we're done. So it was 18 points at the half or whatever it was, I think, and or close enough too, right? Wasn't it? Yeah. Maybe. 16? 15? 16, sure. But still, this was just an ass-whipping because Paolo Banchero was incredible. So last time the Magic won a home playoff game, Derek Rose won the MVP. Dwight Howard was the Defensive Player of the Year. Dirk Nowitzki won the Finals MVP. And Paolo Banchero was 8 years old. It's pretty good. But they smashed him. 35% from 3, 51% from the floor. Cleveland managed 39-23. 14 turnovers. They got out-rebounded by 19. Like, this was just a smasher rating. Donnie Mitchell ended up with 13 points on 6 of 16 shooting. That's not very good. Darius Rucker, Judy Garland was even worse. 2 of 10 for 5 points. Go to the fro, Jared Allen and Mobley. At least did a little bit of something early, but then just played off the floor. 15-8 for Allen. 10 points, 3 blocks for Mobley. Strus couldn't hit a shot. Niang couldn't hit a shot until he got going a little bit later. My sweet baby Caris LeVert played like a million minutes of junk time. He played 29 minutes and you're like, ah, oh, yeah. 15 points, 3 assists. None of them mattered. He was still a minus 29 in 29 minutes. Sam Merrill hit 3 of 4 from 3. He had 9 points, but this team just got their ass handed to them. Maxi Strus went 0 of 4 from downtown as well. Not good when he's not hitting shots. Paolo at 31 points in 29 minutes. He was amazing. 13-26, super aggressive, opening up everything else for all of his other teammates. That was the best part. He's driving, creating shots. He had 14 rebounds, 5 assists, and a steal. He went 4 of 9 from deep. But this is the sort of game you want to see from your former number one pick in the playoffs, right? You're like, this is it. This is the dude. You're the dude who does this. Do that more. Do it. And Paolo's like, okay. Franz Wagner, hello. 16-5-8 for him. 6-12 from the floor. 1-5 from downtown. If he could find his threes, Franz will be unstoppable. Jalen Suggs, God, I love him. 24 points. He shot 9-11. Bush did that. 3-5 from deep. Gary Harris didn't hit a shot. He went 0-3. But their other guards actually stepped up in this one. Markel Fultz had 11 points. Ice Cole Anthony had 10 points as well. Johnny Isaac managed 8 off the bench as well. They moved him to the bench. They brought in Gary Harris as the starter. Wendell started it as well, and it worked. Great job by the Magic men to get on the board. This one is now 2-1.
Cleveland!
Knicks Sixers! Joel Embiid tried to kill the other Mitch Robinson. Just out there. This was an awesome game. Sixers win at 125-114 at home. They get on the board. The crowd was chaos because it felt like there was, like, at times more Knicks fans there than Sixers fans. Joel Embiid was doing some dirty shit. He grabs the other Mitch Robinson's leg on the ground. So Embiid's on the ground. He grabs the other Mitch Robinson. Like, the ball's not even near him. He just grabs his leg, and the ref's like, nah, man, we checked it. And yeah, it was definitely a flagrant one, but it wasn't excessive. My point is, how the fuck is that not excessive? It's not a basketball play. You've literally ripped the dude down as he's like midair. That's the exact personification of fucking excessive. Anyway, Embiid was incredible in this game. He bitched and moaned. He got to the foul line. He was hitting threes. He won them the game, and he scored 50 points. It was absolute. He also kicked the other Mitch Robinson in the dick in like an absolute act of Draymond-esque fuckery. Incredible stuff. It really was incredible. But yanking on Mitch Robinson, I'm just like, that'll get you punched in the fucking head on any basketball court in the world. And if it had been the other Mitch Robinson doing that to Joel Embiid, who knows what the Sixers would have done? Talk about fucking filing grievances. Anyway, Brunson was carrying the Knicks. Embiid went bang in that third quarter. He had 18 points. And the Knicks actually led at the half, right? Brunson was really, really good. They had a bit sort of just floating around from the likes of Josh fucking Hart. OG Anunoby got going late. But the big problem was for them that Donte DiVincenzo could not get much going. He had a sick dunk at the end of the first half and did fuck all else. Couldn't hit a three, went 0-3. But Embiid, 18 points on 7 of 8 shooting in that third quarter, 4 of 4 from downtown, and it just fucking blew the lid off that Philly crowd. They loved it. It was a 43-point quarter from Philly, and they had a 13-point lead hanging into the fourth quarter. It was absolutely fantastic. Maxey also had like 10 points in the quarter too. Jalen Brunson had 13 in the quarter, and he had 30 going into the fourth, but he was like just lone wolfing it, right? McBride, though, he had a three at the start of the fourth quarter, but they could just never quite reel in that Sixers team just because their defense just could not slow down Embiid. And he sort of just kept getting to the free throw line. He shot 21 free throws. He hit 5 of 7 from downtown. And then, like, by that sort of mark, like, Maxey just sort of kept scything through everything and scoring. He had 25 too. Kelly Oubre filled in some nice gaps. And look, I think Lowry was what weirdly important. Jim, he only had 9 points and 4 assists. Yeah, but there was like a moment in that fourth quarter where no one made a shot for it felt like, I don't know, 6 minutes. It was just like everyone's taking free throws. And Kyle Lowry just hit a jump shot in the middle of that. So the lead never dipped down from like 8 to 12. Like every so often it'd be like 7 or something. But the Knicks, because Donte DiVincenzo wasn't hitting much, like Josh Hart, they put it to 7 points with like a minute 17 left. But they just couldn't get any stops. And then because Donte DiVincenzo and Deuce McBride and co. weren't knocking in all the threes, it was kind of like OG Anunoby had played his lone hand. He had 17 and 4, shot 7-11. Isaiah Hartenstein was fantastic, 14 and 4, 7-12 shooting as well. Brunson was just out there just going, dude, I'm gassed, man. Like 39 points, 13 assists, shot 13 to 27. Talk about lone wolf gear. But without Mitch Robinson in the second half, it was like a bit of Precious Achiuwa, who was very handy, but then also was just like, oh, hang on a second, I'm getting bodied. And Embiid just carried them right over the top. So great job by the Sixers to get this win. 19 free throws to 33. Do you reckon the filing a grievance threat worked? But the Knicks only went 13 of 30 from downtown. That was the biggest thing, right? Like, without Donte DiVincenzo, Bojan hurt himself as well. He went 1 of 3 from downtown. So Hart went 4 of 8. He had 20 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. Donte, the 2 of 7 overall was pretty brutal from him. 5 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 0 of 3 from 3. 0 of 3 from 3. And Brunson, 3 of 7, 39 and 13. It felt like a waste. It was really, really tough to watch. Deuce McBride hit a couple of threes as well. But look, the Sixers, they went 15 of 31 on triples and shot 55% from the floor. Yeah, that's pretty good. Like, shoot 6% better than the other team and take, what, 14 more free throws? Hit more threes? Should be laughing. So they did. Joel Embiid was absolutely incredible. Playoff career high, 50. He's scoring from all angles. Like, that crowd was absolutely falling over themselves. They absolutely loved every second of it. They're carrying on like a pork chop, however. Like, the stumping and, like, fucking throwing a tantrum when he was like, oh, I got fouled shooting this three. And he like literally jumped up and down like a fucking toddler. It's like, mate, you've got one bung knee as well. You're scoring 50 fucking points. don't carry on like a pork chop. This is the reason everyone fucking hates Draymond. Quit it. It's like, that was your fail. And Isaiah Hartenstein was nowhere fucking near him. Anyway, Embiid was awesome. 50 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists and a block. He went 5-7 from deep, 13-19 from the floor. 50 points on 19 field goal attempts is just stupid. Maxey had 25-7. He shot 9-21. Oubre had 15. 8-5 for Tobias the Never Nude Harris. You love that. Hey, Tobias, how much are we paying you again? $35 million. Hey, can you get more points than shots taken? I can't do it, boss. 8 points on 4 of 10 shooting. Thanks for coming, Tobias. Big Buddha Kyle Lowry, though, 9 points. As I said, he was massive. Took a charge at one point. You're like, that's the Kyle Lowry. And campaign. Oh, sit down because it's the whole campaign. The takeover game, 11 points, 3 or 4 on threes. He was just like instrumental at times. You're like, that's not a sentence I thought I'd be uttering. Because Buddy Hield has completely forgotten how to play basketball and is now basically benched. He played 4 minutes, went 0 of 2. What the fuck happened there? Buddy Hield, you're a shooter. Just shoot the fucking ball. He's like, oh, I can't do that. And he hit the shots. Anyway, great win for the Sixers. Felt like they were bottling it at every moment of that fourth quarter. And there is nothing quite like the fear of Sixers fans. Actually, yeah, the fear of Knicks fans. Yeah, that's just almost as fun. The fear from Lakers fans. The fear from Celtics fans. I don't know. I just feed on the fear, I think. 2-1 Knicks. Game 4's on Monday. It's going to be awesome. And then the final game of today, the Nuggets beat the Lakers because the Lakers, I'll tell you what.
The Lakers stink!
Especially against Denver. Oh, is this the closest sweep of all time again? Jim, 112-105. It's not that actually close. The craziest part is this is the third straight game. The Nuggets were down double figures, came back, and won the game against the Lakers. The Lakers.
The Lakers stink!
Good start for the Lakers. They're up massive right out of the gate. 2 quick fouls on Jokic, but he plays so smart. Look, they scored 22 points in the paint that first quarter to the Lakers. The Nuggets themselves only managed 23. And then they went, wait a minute, if that works for them, maybe we should do that as well. And Aaron Air Gordon just dominated from then on. Like, defensively, Denver was solid in that second quarter. Gordon and Murray got going as well. Jamal Murray and Aaron Air Gordon. At this point, you had like 30 points for LeBron and AD combined at the half. Lakers only led by 4 out of nowhere. And you're like, ah, that feels like a bit of a waste. And the Lakers came out of the half looking like they'd fallen asleep. Before you could blink, it's 55-55. Michael Porter Jr. hits a 3. The Lakers are just like, are we still playing this game? And Denver are like, yeah, dickheads, what are you doing? Because they did not lead again from that moment forth. Like, it's crazy. Like, Michael Porter Jr. hits that 3. They go up 3. I think the AD had a shot that goes straight in after that. And then, so it was like 61-60, Lakers led. And that was it. The next shot that they made, Aaron Gordon just had another back cut and then another dunk and then another dunk. And you're like, oh, right. That's not good. At this point, the Lakers were 1 of 14 from downtown. You're like, oh, that's probably not going to help either. So Denver rip off like this 9-0 run. They go up 69-61. And at that point, it was like halfway through the third quarter, they'd ripped off a 20-8 run. They were dominating the boards. They were forcing turnovers. They were moving the ball on offense. And the exact opposite was happening for the Lakers. Like, the ball was stopping. They couldn't force anything. It just felt like it was incredible just to watch the momentum swing within half a quarter. And that's exactly what happened. Denver end up, they're up 12. Dinwiddie and AD snuck in some buckets at the end of the third quarter. So Denver up 8, was it? I think 83-75. LeBron's like, and then I took that personally. So he got to the line and then didn't hit another shot for a little bit. They were 1 of 16 from downtown the Lakers. Torin the Red Bull Prince finally hit one. It was 2 of 17. But Denver just kept them at arm's length the rest of the way, right? Like, it was really, really strange. There was like a little bit of a run right at the end where like Austin Reeves hit a 3 and LeBron sort of just made it through to for like an easy layup and shit. But this game was over. Like, they're up 14 points with 3 minutes left. And the fucking, the air went out of that building. Crypto.com Arena. And it was weird. You're like, yo, you've still got a shot. You got to play like a hint of defense. And like, nah, man, that seems real fucking hard, eh? Just seems real fucking hard. I don't know if I want to play defense, man. And, I mean, LeBron and AD combined for what? 59 points. Austin Reeves had 22 as well. A lot of that came late. He hit 8 of 17 from the floor for his 22-5 and 3 with 4 steals. Love a bit of Austin Reeves. Outside of that, Who did anything? Oh, that's right, nobody. It was absolutely embarrassing. If you're a Lakers fan, you got to look at this and go, wait, we scored 24 total points outside those three dudes. Meanwhile, the Nuggets had like four dudes in 20 score over 20 points, and the rest of the team sort of just kicked in enough here and there that they ran away with it. So even if you want to like go the Jokic and Murray versus LeBron and AD, like Jokic and Murray, they ended up with 46 total points between them. LeBron and AD had the 59. You're like, whoa, you should be rolling. Nah, because Dinwiddie had 8 on 8 shots. D'Lo, completely MIA in a surprise twist. Rui Hachimura did very, very, very little. He had 5 points. 7 for Torrey and the Red Bull Prince. But yeah, they end up shooting as a team 5 of 27 from downtown. LeBron ends up with the 26, 5 and 8. Shot 12 of 20. He only went 1 of 6 from 3 as well. He only took 2 free throws. They're the ones right at the start of the fourth quarter. Anthony Davis went 5 of 7 the line, 14 of 23 overall from the floor. 0 threes he took. Remember when he shot threes in the bubble and they won a title? Amazing. Anyway, 33 and 15 total for him. Really good game until Jokic just fucking bodied him in the second half. 22, as I mentioned, for Reeves. Fuck all else everywhere else. 5 of 27 from downtown. 5 of 28 for the Nuggets. They end up shooting better than the Nugs, which was hilarious from downtown. But 29 and 15, they got beaten up inside by Aaron Air Gordon. He was incredible. 20 and 10 for Michael Porter Jr. He was just pulling shots out of his ass. There was a great step back, I don't know, jumper that basically felt like the dagger with about 4 or 5 minutes to go. And you're like, yep, pack her up, boys. You are done skis. 24, 15 and 9 for the Joker. He shot 13 times. Took 13 shots, went 9 of 13, 24, 15, and 9. You're taking the piss. 22 points, 9 assists, jammed Jamal Murray, 8 of 21 shooting. Not wildly efficient because he went 1 of 6 from 3. But look, the fact that that's 8 of 21 shooting, 1 of 6 from jammed Jamal, and they win the game, you'll take that every day of the week, won't you, for the Nugs? Elsewise, he had Reggie Jackson hurt himself, but he had 5 points before he got basically having to, you know, airlift it out of there. Hurt his shoulder and then hurt his foot. 5 points for Christian Brown and 5 points for the notorious KCP, who went 1 of 5 from deep. But either way, the Nugs now up 3-0 in the series. Could they be the first team to ever do it? No. No, they couldn't be. All right, let's do an NBA Australia Proof performance of the night.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Ba-da-bang-ga-da. 31 and 29, but of course, Joel Embiid, 50 points. He was incredible. Like, he carried that Sixers team over the line. That third quarter was absolutely immense. The craziest part is Embiid was doing that on one fucking leg. Like, when he's not throwing temper tantrums, there you go, use your words, Jim, I've had too much coffee today. If he's not throwing temper tantrums or kicking dudes in the dick or trying to rip off a dude's leg and injuring them, he's an incredible basketball player. He became the first center in NBA history to 50-plus points and 5-plus threes in a playoff game. Paolo with his 31, 14 rebounds, 5 assists and a steal. He was the youngest player with 30 and 10 in a playoff game since LeBron did it in 2006. And Embiid also became the first player in NBA playoffs to have 50-plus points on fewer than 20 field goal attempts. That's bloody good. The craziest part was Aaron Air Gordon was almost as good. 29, 15 and 3, 12 of 18 shooting. He was fantastic. He was the guy who just sort of kept it all rolling for the Nuggets, right? Like, just when the Lakers were sort of like, oh, man, we could probably push out this lead. And he's like, just let me do a little bit of a back cut. While the Lakers space out and Anthony Davis is, you know, out there going, I'm the greatest defensive player ever. And then Aaron Air Gordon drops 29 on your head. Joker drops a 24, 15 and 9. And it's pretty good. Pretty great defense, I must say. From an incredible defensive player, Anthony Davis. Self-anointed. He's just like Carl Anthony Towns. I'm the greatest shooting big man of all time. All right, dickhead. never heard of Dirk Nowitzki, eh? All right, who was Spud of the night?
Spud.
It was D'Lo. Yes, D'Lo! Oh, I've been dominating the season all year, so for me to have a game off when everyone's watching, of course it's going to be magnified. You see what I did the second game? I'm looking forward to do it in the third game. D'Lo, going to have to eat some words there, buddy. 24 minutes, 0 points, 0 of 7 from the floor, 0 of 6 from three. 3 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, a block, 1 turnover, and a -6. That is some spud-worthy shit. You hate to see it from D'Lo as well. Darius Rucker, Judy Garland went 2 of 10 as well for his 5 points. That is just brutal. Justin Holiday was 0 of 4. But no one is touching that 0 of 7 from D'Lo today for the spot of the night. Absolutely walked it in. I'm just so proud of him. Just so proud of him. Who's old mate no mates?
Old mate no mates.
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 Old mate no
mates. Who's got no mates today? We've got a couple. Kelly Oubre just keeps getting into accidents. He crashed his Lambo. He's got a Lamborghini, does Kelly Oubre. If there was a person on earth, I'd be like, hey, who should I entrust this Lambo to? Kelly Oubre is going to be pretty fucking low on that list. He crashed it after they beat the Knicks in game two, right? Oh, no. After they lost the Knicks, rather, in game two, of course. Because he's on the Sixers, Jim. Pay attention. In Philly, the police said that Oubre disregarded a red traffic signal and ran into another car. Nobody was injured in the collision. But, yeah, written off his Lambo. You hate to see it. Also, at some point, you're just going to go, just get a fucking Uber. Oh, but I want to drive my Lambo. I don't know. Don't drive your Lambo at 1:45 on a Tuesday morning. Breathos, just saying. What are you doing, mate? What are you doing? We also had a really good one where Anthony Davis, they did the old straw poll of 132 NBA players. And Anthony Davis reckons he's the best defensive player in the league. Not according to 132 of his peers who didn't have him in the top 10. That is some definite old mate no mates vibes. Just maybe because he's a weird looking dude. Just saying. What about pantsing of the evening?
Fatty fat 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 fatty fatty fat fat.
Jalen Suggs, that is a pantsing for Cleveland, right? You're up to put them up 32 after a steal. He just had this sick windmill. DiVincenzo had the really good dunk at that half, but I mean, they ended up going on to lose that game. But the Suggs, like, that is such a pantsing. It's like, you can't catch me. Also, we're now up 32. And look at this sick windmill dunk I'm doing on your ass. Bang. Speaking of which.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. Jalen Suggs was coming for your neck today. 28 minutes. He had 24 points. Was a plus 25. Shot 9-11. Love that. 3 of 5. Well, not, I don't love 9-11. I'm just saying he shot very well. He's very efficient. 100% disavow 9-11. 3 of 5 from 3. 3 of 3 at the line. 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals and a block. That is an incredible game. But my favorite thing about Suggs, and I don't know how many people were watching that Cleveland-Orlando game, right? But he came out with such just a fucking fire. He's like, we've been shit these first two games. We're now at home. Let's get these guys up and about. He and Paolo fucking put Cleveland to the sword, somewhat ironically, for Cavaliers. Right away. And they just could not clamber back into that game. Suggs was fantastic and easily better than Lonzo Ball. But the cool thing is, where are we? Oh, that's right. We are in the Larry Armour Studios. What does that mean? Oh, my God. It's everyone's favorite segment. Let's do the bloody thing. Oh, jeez. Last night, I was so devastated I couldn't even tweet. An unbelievable shot by Jamal Murray and an outstanding comeback by the Nuggets. Thanks, Magic. Ah, remember how the other day I had to do my own Magic tweet after that Jam Jamal Murray game winner. I enjoyed that. And then Magic didn't actually do it, but he did tweet this out. The Lakers have nobody to blame but themselves. They did everything they were supposed to do but win the game. AD and LeBron both did their part. They got some scoring help from Russell and they still lost. Thanks, Magic. Oh, I love that one. But this is a pretty good one. He's also all about a bit of the old NFL because he's, remember, a part owner of the Washington Commanders. I'm so thrilled and excited to welcome Jaden Daniels to the Commanders family. I'm looking forward to all the wins we will celebrate this season and years to come with you as our leader. I know you'll lead our franchise not only as our quarterback, but also in the locker room and the DMV community at JD_5. What do we say? Thanks, Magic. Now, he's not tweeted again about today's Laker loss. He was at the game. So at halftime, they did like a thing celebrating Michael Cooper, which is very cool. They rolled out Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. It's great to see the cap out there still kicking along. They had, obviously, James Worthy, Kurt Rambis, obviously Magic, Coop, a couple of other folks. Love that. And it's like celebrating Michael Cooper, the unheralded dude on the Showtime Lakers. And Magic was out there, like, to say, without you, this doesn't happen, and no, it's all good. And then the Lakers lost. So, should we take a stab at saying what the Magic tweet of the week, well, today will be after this Lakers lost? After his Lakers lost? Let's do it. Another tough loss for my Lakers. This one was a heartbreaker. LeBron and Anthony Davis and Austin Reeves did their absolute best to keep us in it, but the Denver Nuggets were just too good, especially Aaron Air Gordon, who, you might not use that, who had 29 points, 15 rebounds, 3 assists, and Nikola Jokic, who had 24 points, 15 rebounds, and 9 assists, and Jamal Murray, who had 22 points, 5 rebounds, and 9 assists. They were just too good. Hopefully, we can become the first team to come back from 0-3 down in a series. What do we say? Thanks, Magic. All right, finally, Dickhead of the Week.
Dickhead of the Week!
It's going to be Joel Embiid. He should have, A, been kicked out of that game for trying to hurt Mitch Robinson. He should have been kicked into the Delaware fucking river being a dickhead. And then he should have been booted as well for kicking him in the dick. Like, oh, it's part of his natural shooting action. How about you stay on your feet, Joel? How he manages to fall over. You're 7'40". How can you not take a simple jump shot without fucking falling over with zero contact? What the hell? But anyway, the point being, of course, that, like, ripped down a, like, approach to Mitch Robinson. Like, when he's above you, A, he hurts his ankle on that, does Mitch Robinson. And Embiid, like, I'm still just confused as to how the refs were like, oh, it wasn't excessive. He's reached up to trip a dude on purpose, grabbed his leg when the ball was fucking nowhere near him. What are we doing here? Excessive. Anyway, Embiid, for that dog act, and then for the kicking in the dick, dickhead of the week. But what a game. 50 points overall. Absolute legendary shit. He is a man of multitudes, is our man Embiid. I love it. All right, let's do some YNRs right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Darryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Illy.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. NBA Australia, yeah, now is brought to you by the NBA Australia Shop. Get your merch.
Timo.
Get your merch.
Wear it.
Get your merch.
Yeah, do that. NBAAustralia.com/shop or just click there on the socials and away we go. Love this. We've got a few good ones. it's a bit of a tough one. Dan Wilkinson. Fuck, I wish they'd banned Malika Andrews from making jokes on NBA today. They're not even close to dad jokes. Yeah, nah. She is very, very polished, is Malika Andrews. She's also painfully unfunny. I mean, so am I, but still, it all works. Dan Drosher. D'Lo not in the Lakers huddle at this one. The real D'Lo has stood up in these playoffs. Yeah, nah, his off-season trade finally got finalized during the fourth quarter. Yeah, I mean, D'Lo just not in the huddle. Just LeBron's like, all right. Can we somehow trade him for my son for game 4? And Pelinka will probably try to make that happen. Yeah, the D'Lo one, he is like, I think the sort of bigger question here is like, does the Lakers' success hinge on D'Lo and is that a massive problem? Yeah, nah, fucking obviously. They were close last game and he played really well. He played like dog shit today and they got smashed. Should they have traded him during the, you know, the trade period in the middle of the season when he was actually playing out his ass? Yeah, nah, yes. It's D'Lo. How many times? He can't keep getting away with this. Verbal meme. Like, we're all trying to find the guy who did this, says Rob Pelinka. But D'Lo, it's always this way. It's always this way. He'll have a great patch. You know, like, this guy looks like one of the fucking best point guards in the NBA. The perfect compliments at LeBron and AD. And when the going gets fucking tough, guess what happens? He falls apart and plays like shit. You've got to, like, one point in like the first week of February, you're going to go, hey, everybody, look how good D'Lo's playing. It's fantastic. Oh, geez, you could probably use him on your team, couldn't you? And they completely cooked it once more. Will that cost them LeBron James? Yeah, no. probably not. Not with his extension. Still, if LeBron was serious about winning more titles, he'd be just looking at this team going, oh, yeah, fucking two sweeps in 2 years, eh? It would be rough. I might have to get out of here. I like LA, but maybe I'll go draw the Clippers. All right, Sixers-Knicks. Is this going seven? Yeah, nah. I mean, yeah, it should. Will it? One of these teams is definitely going to bottle it, and it's going to be fucking hilarious. Whether it's the Sixers or the Knicks, like the Knicks being up 2-0 and then like losing four straight would be genuinely the funniest fucking thing. The Sixers winning one and getting their fans' hopes back up is also pretty fucking funny if they then lost the next two. I tip the Knicks in six. I still think they can do that in six, no problems. Today was like, yeah, 50 points from Embiid. Nobody else on that Knicks team hit a fucking shot. It felt like Josh Hart obviously stepped up a little bit. OG stepped up late, but it was too little too late. Thing is, Philly, if they get this out of Embiid a couple more times, they could fucking easily win this series. So it is hilarious. So I think one team will bottle it, and I feel like it'll be either team wins in six, but I'd love this to go seven. Just saying. It is like, it's so entertaining. It's absolute chaos. And then finally, can the Magic actually get back into this series? Yeah, nah, yeah. A playoff series doesn't start if someone loses at home. Well, that's wrong because the series has started with the first game. And the series could easily just not start if it went to seven and the home team won each game. So you see how that is fraught with our possibility. Thing is, Orlando are the best team in the NBA at home against the line, at least 29-13. The Cavs did look fucking horrible for like 2 months. So if Orlando's D can actually play pretty bloody solidly like they did today and just take Garland and Mitchell right out of it, and they shoot okay, yeah, they're right in that series. As long as they win game four, go back to Cleveland, it's a 3-game series out of nowhere, and you can definitely trust Orlando's like defense to step up and just snag one. But they could also fuck one up. It's not hard. What do we got from Scotty Baxter? Oh, I love that everybody's just sent... What a spud, yep. Everybody's just sending me D-Lo memes at this point, which is, look, I'm here to be your D-Lo. Look, just feed me. Like fucking Homer with the donut machine. Feed me all of your D-Lo memes. Love it. The one with him shitting his pants the other day was incredible. After he promised the Lakers would win, he went for 0 points. I absolutely love this. It's so good. And Matty O said, lucky you were so clutch, otherwise they didn't make the play. They don't make the playoffs. In regards to Steph Curry, that's fucking funny. Yeah, geez, they would have struggled to make the playoffs if he wasn't so clutch. Oh, they didn't make them anyway. You hate to see it. That's a good one. Not bad, Matty O. Not bad. Right. Sick. Let's do an unpopular opinion of the day. Why not? Why not, he says.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
So, speaking of which... Steph wins Clutch Player of the Year. I feel like we should maybe hone in on, look, I understand the clutch idea, right? Some points scored when it's like within a specific amount of points in the game, in the last few minutes of a game, right? By the same token, maybe that's also a bit fraught because it sort of leaves the door open for someone like, I don't know, a shit Warriors team to be getting their ass kicked time and time and time and time again. But then Steph scores a lot of points in the clutch and their team is still shit. Like, I still kind of think SGA or DeMar DeRozan, because, like, the Bulls kept fucking winning those chaos games, which is weird. SGA and OKC did as well. So it was the final 5 minutes of a game and stuff, you know, as long as the game is within a 5-point margin. Like, I feel like the win should also count a little bit towards that. I've got a feeling the wins for the actual... Warriors weren't too bad, though, so I might actually just talking out my ass. No surprises there, Jim. Nah, you're not wrong. It's what I do. Let's have a look at that actual clutch stat via the NBA.com one. Yeah, DeMar DeRozan, they actually had more wins in the clutch. Dame with 23, Luke, not bad. Interesting. Just ahead of Steph, but still. Yeah, tough scenes. All right, what about the... that was the unpopular opinion of the day. What about Outback? Bloody takeouts. It's Friday at Outback. You know what that means? Oh, yeah, icy cold TGIF Foster's Oil Drum Cans. That's right. cans the size of your bloody noggin. Full of icy cold Foster's Lager. It's definitely not horse's piss. It is actually Australian for beer, apparently. Even though no actual Australian has ever, ever tasted Foster's since 1997. Still, get 4-for-1 only at Outback. And today's Flame Grill take is... if Steph Curry is serious about winning another title, he should force a trade to OKC. Bigger brain. If LeBron James is serious about getting another title, he should ask OKC to use one of their million draft picks to draft Bronny James and then go win another title in OKC. Galaxy brain. If Kevin Durant wants to be remembered as an actual not snake, an absolute NBA legend, Kevin Durant should demand a trade to OKC to go win another title. And then we'll all actually look at him fondly with his awesome bookended NBA career. And then he should move him to Seattle. Only at Outback. To be honest, he should actually go start the new Seattle franchise and win a title with them like the Vegas Knights did, right? Very, very quickly in their first couple of years. I think he might be a little bit too old. But yeah, KD going back to OKC. Like, is that the only way that Phoenix could get out of this bind of, oh, fuck, we've completely cooked this. KD's old as shit. We've given up every single draft pick we have. And we've got two non-point guards, even though Devin Booker is pretty good. But we've got Brad Beal for some reason. And we've got Kevin Durant, who's old as fuck. Hey, OKC, can we just have like a fucking giant bunch of your picks? Just so we can say we've got a fuck ton of picks. And we'll give you Kevin Durant. Who says no? Who says no? All right, very brief Australian player watch. Let's just go straight into it because it's literally just jingles. Right, jingling Joe Ingles today in the Australian player watch. I mean, he didn't do much. He didn't need to because Orlando kicked the fucking shit out of him, mate. 0-1 from the floor in his 10 minutes. One field goal attempt. That was a three. He missed it. He did draw a foul early on in his stint there too. 0 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist and a +7. So great job by the jingling one. God, I love him. All right, what about an Andrew Gaze Grand Mumber Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence? It's the first and you won the Andrew Gaze Grand Mumber Award. All right, love this. The Joel Embiid 50-point game, as I mentioned, like, this is fucking absolutely excellent. Like, it's going to get buried under the dumb fuckery, the loaf kicking, the hurting of Mitch Robinson, but the 50 points. To be seriously the first player in NBA playoff history to have 50 points on fewer than 20 field goal attempts is fucking insane. That is quite literally the definition of excellence. The 21 free throw attempts, the 5 of 7 from 3, the 3 of 19 field goals, 50 points, a playoff career high. That is fucking excellence. Great job. Now, can you not kick people in the dick? It's not hard. Oh, it's a natural shooting motion. I don't know if you're 7'4" and you're throwing yourself backwards every time you shoot a fucking basketball and then flail your leg into the dick of Mitch Robinson is actually natural shooting motion, but I'll believe it when I believe Draymond. Eric Spoelstra is the other excellence award. He's 10-3 now in game twos after losing game one. So the Heaters beat Boston yesterday and 10-3 in game twos after losing game one is sick. He's also 4-1. In his last game threes, last five game threes, he's 4-1. Watch out, Boston. Question mark? Question mark? All right, let's do a Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in, a.k.a. Jimmy looks at his phone and sees what Patty's been up to. Patty did just do actually a update. Oh, there's Jock. What's Jock saying? Paris Olympics, here we come. He's on the running track. That's pretty good. Don't mind that. Patty did have some. Where'd they go? Jim, have you just been looking at all the Patty ones anyway and they've disappeared again? Yes. There he is. Miami. Oh, that's right. He had the see you at the bottom. No limit hero. To Tyler, there goes my hero. Everyone high-fiving him as he walks back in. There's Patty listening to Spo. That's the best playmaking you've ever done, he says to Tyler Hero. Patty's clapping along. Swish is followed by silence. Oh, Patty Mills. Retweeting out the heat, trolling the Boston... fans love that. And Baller Pat. Just a picture of him in his Kasubi gear. Not bloody bad. Go check out his IGs. Right, we actually have a slather of the game previews, and I've dug in a little bit deeper for you for the weekend. Because we are doing the live videos each morning, basically. I probably won't do them on the weekend. I'll probably try to do one on Monday, but we've got a bunch of games. We've got some game threes tomorrow. Then we've actually got some game fours on Sunday, because apparently the NBA just can't figure out how to go, how do we do game threes, and then game threes, and then game fours, and split them all up. Nope, we're going to have game fours concurrent with game threes, because why wouldn't we? If only they had a vice president of common fucking sense, just saying. Tomorrow, though, we have a very early start. It's a 7:30 a.m. Australian Eastern Time start. As Milwaukee Aids are gonking for the good land, will it be the good land tomorrow? Probably not. They play Indy in Indy. The Pacers are 5.5-point favourites. I'm taking Indy in that one. They're 22-17 at home against the spread. But they ran the Bucks out of their own gym in Game 2. Their defence has played a lick better, but their offense clicked in, right? And that's exactly what Indy does every so often. Look, we know that the Pacers can throw up a stinker, but they're 26-15 at home overall. The Bucks are 18-22 on the road. Not great with Doc in tow. I just feel like the Pacers can win this one and put up a bit more of a repeat of what we saw in Game 2. My big problem for Indy would be Game 4, where they start feeling a little bit confident and it all sort of falls apart and the Bucks actually really amp up their defense. So I think my pick there is Indy -5.5. Then we have the Clippers at Dallas. This is awesome. What a fun game this is going to be. 10 a.m. tomorrow, Clippers at Dallas. Dallas are 25-16 at home this year against the 21-20 against the spread. The Clippers are 26-15 away head-to-head, but only 20-21 against the spread. So I'm actually, look, I think Dallas win this game. Both Luka and Kyrie are quite statistically better at home. Kyrie by a couple of points. Luka's shooting percentages go up as well. The role players should be a little bit better as well, you'd expect. PJ Hamilton, Washington, Josh Greeny, Green and co. I think the Clippers, with a little bit more time to incorporate Kawhi into their game plan, as opposed to him rocking up going, guys, I'm going to play today. And everyone going, fuck, all right, sure, I guess. Clippers are 4.5-point underdogs. We saw them hit a three at the very end of that last game to lose by three. It was a 96-90 thing right there at the end until Paul George hit that silly three. I'm going to take the Clippers +4.5 because the simple idea, I think they could win. But the problem is Dallas probably win this in another close one. I just don't quite see like Dallas blowing out this Clippers team in this game. I feel like Dallas, if they win this, they could beat the absolute shit out of the Clippers in Game 4. But at the same time, I think what we'll see, Luka and Kyrie be a little bit better at home. I think the role players step up just that little bit. They eke it out just as they did in Game 2. I think they just sneak their their noses over the line. And Dallas win, Clippers cover. Minnesota Phoenix, the Suns are 4.5-point favorites for Game 3. The Wolves have lost 12 of their last 13 road games in the playoffs. That's a lot. The Suns have actually also covered the line 6 straight against Mini at home. So, look, I expect a big Booker game in Game 3 of Suns-Wolves. At home, I think Booker would be a little bit better. I think Brad Beal will step up in the, look, probably no Grayson Allen after he hurt his ankle. So a little bit more Brad Beal. And I think KD sort of fills in the gaps, does his little thing, and tries to go, hey, Jaden McDaniels, that's kind of neat that you're really awesome. I'm also really fucking good. Check this out. Ant-Man out there talking his shit, Mike Conley. I just feel like on the road, the Suns will kind of just go, cool, that's needy, you guys. We're very old and we're very experienced. Check this out. Nurk will fill in some gaps as well. And I think the Suns can win this one. They're at like 16-24 against the spread at home, but I think they'll be a little bit okay. I think this goes home, 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 home winners for the first four games, Suns-Wolves. Even though the Suns haven't quite kind of really looked like getting into this series much, I think this is where it starts turning. They feel much more comfortable at home in front of that weird, just absolutely meth hippie vibe that they have there in Arizona. Give me Phoenix -4.5. Cleveland on Sunday. We start at 3 a.m. Cleveland, Orlando. Jeez. The Magic are 2.5-point favorites again. Remember, the Magic are the best team in the NBA against the line at 29-13 at home. Cavs, 38-point loss today, 19-21 on the road for them. I'm going to go the Magic again to even this one up. As long as the shooting holds, I think their defense can really stymie this Cavs team. which seems very easy to solve on offense at times. As long as you slow down Mitchell and Garland, it gets very, very squirrely very, very, very quickly. Like, their wings just can't really create shots for themselves. So I'll go Orlando minus 2.5, and we'll end that series after the first four games at 2-2. OKC, New Orleans. The Pelicans plus 1.5 for game 3. Whoa. The Pels have lost 4 straight against OKC. But even though OKC are awesome at home, they're 19-21 on the road. Pelicans are 21-21 at home. I think their defense will benefit, though, right? Trey Murphy will probably have a big, big game. Hit a bunch of threes. I think the Pelicans can win this. I think their defense just kicks up a notch. OKC just look a little bit rattled on the road for the first time in the playoffs. And I think the Pelicans get this one down. Give me the Pels plus 1.5. And then Boston-Miami game 3. This is sick. The Heat have lost 13 straight at home as underdogs. I think the Heat lose this. Boston win it. But Miami cover the plus 9.5. Because I think that game that we saw the other day, I think that lights a fire under Boston a little bit. We'll try to see how they incorporate the extreme zinger meal and whether or not it works. But I think Miami just have that fire in them at home. They're not great at home either. They're 17-25 against the line at home. Spo is 4-1 in his last 5 game 3s. They lost in Denver. They lost against Denver, rather, in Miami. But I think Boston win this. I think Miami make them earn it. Let's go Miami plus 9.5. And then finally, Denver, Lakers game 4. Do you think they can sweep them, Jim? Yeah, nah. I think they will get to a point where it's like, actually, we're not going to get swept. We are going to cover this game. Their 2.5-point underdogs are the Lakers. I'm going to take the Lakers plus 2.5. This is a gentleman's sweep. I think they lose game. Well, they lose game 3 today. I think they win game 4 and then lose game 5 in Denver. They've just got too many answers to do Denver. Jamal Murray shot like shit in the game today and they still fucking won. I think the offensive output maybe drops a little bit for Denver. The Lakers steal game 4, but then Denver win game 5. Then we've got games on Monday. The Knicks and the Sixers. We've already got a line for this. The Sixers are 4.5-point favorites at home. I think I'll take the Sixers. I think this, look, I already sort of mentioned this, that someone will shit down their league a little bit. It might be the Knicks. I think Philly can win this again. So give me Philly minus 4.5 on Monday. I think we've also got Clippers-Dallas. So Sixers-Knicks is at 3 a.m. on Monday. That is brutal. Clippers-Dallas is at 5:30. I'm going to take Dallas to win game 4. As I sort of said, I think if they can just get their nose over the line in game 3, I think Dallas could absolutely just blow the fucking doors off the Clippers in game 4. So as long as they win that game 3, they blow the doors off him in game 4. Give me Dallas. Then we have Milwaukee-Indy at 9 a.m. for game 4. I think the Bucks might win that one and even it up. I think I had Indy winning that series 4-3. I think the Pacers win game 3, Bucks win game 4. And then lastly, on Monday morning at 11:30 a.m., we have Minnesota at Phoenix for game 4. As I said, I like Phoenix to win both these games at home. I just think their offense just figures out maybe how to work at home a little bit better against this Minnesota defense. As good as it is, the best in the NBA, but I do feel like KD, Beal, and Booker, sans Grayson Allen, it hurts a little bit, but I think they'll just sort of step up and have their way with that Minnesota defense. And that should be pretty fun. Bloody well better be, I'll tell you what. Because that's it for today. We'll be back on Monday, unless I get the hankering to do a show on Sunday night, but I don't think I will. Because I've just done 6 shows this week, and it's just a lot. I've also done, what, Supercoach, 3 AFL Todays, and another thing, and the live stream. I've done 10 shows this week. Bloody hell. And a live stream. Bloody hell. Absolutely brutal. Absolutely brutal. I'm goosed. So we'll do a show on Monday to wrap up that entire weekend, all those game 4s. We'll also have like a video hopefully out as well on the cooked meter. Going to build out the cooked meter. That should be pretty fun. So in the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Face the IG, of course. We'll pop up any other tip pick videos that we do on IG and Facey Reels. But of course, get around the AFL Today show. We put a lot of time and effort into the AFL show. If you like your AFL footy, please get around it. Subscribe it. Subscribe to it, of course, in your Apple Podcast. Check it out on YouTube. You can watch this one on YouTube. I'm wearing the special bloody Sean Kemp jersey today. The old Sonics one. Can you see it? He lifts it up. Good on me. But there you go. So AFL Today Show, NBA Australia. Make sure you're subscribed, rating, reviewing, all that good stuff. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. You can watch this I did put this one up on YouTube today, so go check it out. And whatever app you use on your Android phone to rate and review and star or whatever, help out. Come on. I don't ask for much. We will have an NFL Australia next week as well, wrapping up the NFL draft, which would be kind of cool. And the Cricket Today podcast, the Football Today podcast. Get around them all. NBAAustralia.com/shop. Get your merch. Get your merch. And a big thanks always go to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Check out House Hats, Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinated, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Section O, Green, 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 and Dozers. For all the tunes you hear throughout the show, smash them all on Bandcamp, Triple J and Earth, Facey, Apple Music, Spotify. However you listen to your tunes, do that. NBA Australia supports Australian bands, so should you. And that's it. We'll finish up with a classic cooking with Bainesy, and we will catch you on Monday, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would ya? And later, Hosanna!
Cooking with Bainesy is filmed in front of a live studio audience.
And now it's time for Cooking with Bainesy with your host, Aaron Bangers Baines. Oh, yeah, yes. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you, thank you. Oh, look at us over there. Oh, yes. I see you over there, Cheryl. You're here every week. Oh, love you too. Oh, love you too, hon. Yes, look at you. Oh, this is great. Oh, thank you. Come on. Oh, settle down. Settle down. Oh, yeah, that's right. Thanks for that. That's ripper. All right, g'day. Welcome to Cooking with Bainesy, and I'm your host, Aaron Bangers Baines. That's it. Cooking with Bainesy. I love this. And in this here episode, we are going to whip you up one of my absolute favorite Australian classics that you can have whenever. You can have it for brekkie. You can have it for lunch. You can have it for tea. It is that absolute modern Australian classic. It's avocado toast. Oh, yes. That's right, it's an absolute Aussie classic now, mate. And after I got this recipe from my little mate, Deli, I love me some avo toast. And, oh, maybe not as much as my mate, Deli, you know what I mean? But anyway, it's easy as, mate. I punch through enough of this that it definitely helps me keep up this physique, you know what I mean? Every brekkie I'm on this train, so I reckon you better jump on board. All right, so it is bloody simple, mate. All you gotta do is go down to your soupy and just grab a loaf of whatever bread you like to toast up. Me, I like a bit of multigrain. I like a little bit more crunch in my toast. Just like the screens I set for the Celtics, a bit of crunch is what I like. Then I grab a ripe old avo, grab a lemon on your way out, and away we go. All right, now. And this is very important. A lot of people try to do fancy shit to avo toast. And look, you can if you really, really want to get all fancy pantsy. You can put some goat's cheese on there. You can put some tomatoes in there. You can put a bit of red onion if you feel like it. Sprinkle some of that bullshit ducker, which I think is just fucking crumbs or whatever the fuck shit it is. But anyway, all you actually need to do is keep it simple as, mate. Toast. Avo. Bit of lemon. So it's simple. Fang your bread in the toaster. Then sit back, crack a tin, and let it all get nice and browned up. Doesn't matter what time of the day it is either. When you're cracking a tin and cooking with Bainesy, it's always time for a tin. So now slice up your avo, dump it into a bowl, scoop it out. Yep, there you go. Scoop her out into a bowl. Now mush that bastard up into a paste. Just mush her up. There you go. Just mush her up. Fuck it. There you go. Yep. Now, once that's done, it's all mushed up, all nice. Get your knife. Now, your toast is done. She's popped up. Get your toast out. Now, slather that avo all over your toast about, you go 1 to 2 inches thick, I reckon. That's how I usually go, eh? Absolute, just smother it in avo. Beautiful. Look at that. Then drizzle a bit of lemon on top, and away we go. Just bloody well. Look at that. Put a bit of salt and pepper on top. And all you have to do then, get your bloody
munch on. Oh, how good is that? It is an absolute bloody ripper of a treat. The best bit is it's good for any time of day. Brekkie, avo toast. Lunch, avo toast. Two, avo toast. It's just bloody delicious, mate. And look, of course, you got to make sure you get your avos when they're in season or else you never be able to afford a bloody house. All right, how easy was that? Thanks to my little mate Deli for the recipe, and I hope yous all enjoy it too. All right, avo taste. Legendary. All right, tune in next week for a brand new recipe, and we'll see yous then on the next episode of Cooking with Bainesy.